continuing our study on the Christian home, and I want to look at this morning about the virtuous woman, the virtuous woman. Now, where do you think in the Bible would we find that? How about Proverbs chapter 31? Now, notice what it says in verse 10 of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, when it says, who can find a virtuous woman, it sounds like, you know what, that's a hard search. Correct? Not every woman is going to be a virtuous woman. Now, we live in a world that has gone through some tremendous changes in the last few decades. We have witnessed a revolution of moral values, and they haven't been going in the right direction. You see, we are loosed from original moorings of the Bible, and we are drifting as a nation. America is not the nation it was a generation ago. I can remember, and those of us who are in our 60s can remember, a whole lot different era than we're living in today. Things that were safer back then. You know, we could run the streets when we were 5 years old, 4 years old, and play with the neighbors all day long, and no one would bother us. You know, moms and dads, they fulfill basically their God-given roles within the home. I mean, everybody, the neighbors looked after each other. It was a whole different era. It was safe. Law enforcement was respected. I mean, you could get put in a squad car, and you know what? Or look at a squad car. There was no cage in the back. No, nobody would think about that. You know why? Because no one thought about hitting a police officer. No one thought about disrespecting them. You know, and it was just a whole different era back then. And you know what? Today it's different. We have violence that seems to be on every hand. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. People, when I was growing up, everybody seemed to go to church, at least some kind of church. And I remember, you know, one guy one time, I asked him, you know, something about church. He said, well, I don't go to church. And I was like, what do you mean you don't go to church? I mean, it was odd that no, you didn't go. And now it's odd that you go. Things have just totally flipped. You know, you could ask somebody, and, you know, it's funny because I watch some of these older shows. And I was watching Rockford the other day, and somebody said, well, do you have any children? He asked Rockford, Jim Rockford, and he says, no, I haven't been married. Are you hearing me? Now, that's kind of strange talk, isn't it, today? Because there's a lot of kids that are born out of wedlock because there's an immorality that is permeating our society. Now, along with this awful attack, and there's a lot of attack on manhood, and that's the reason why a lot of these problems exist. You see, we don't have faithful men in church anymore. Faithful men who lead their homes in the way that they should go. They don't stand up anymore for what they believe. You know, for evil to prosper, good men do nothing. And that's the problem we face today. Along with this attack on manhood, and it kind of is wearisome to hear this phrase being tossed about the last few years about toxic masculinity. You know, toxic masculinity, what is that nonsense? You know what it is? It's nothing more than a man being a man. And you know what? All these feminazis don't want to hear about manhood. And you know what? They're effeminizing boys and effeminizing men, and it's a crying shame. There's an awful attack on manhood, and there's also an attack being waged upon women and biblical womanhood. Women are being deceived. They are believing the devil's lie and trading their honored place of God's design for a place of dishonor in the devil's plan. There's nothing quite as precious or treasured on earth, humanly speaking, as a virtuous woman. Now, Christian women should be determined to set a holy example to those who follow after them. Bible says, who can find a what? Virtuous woman. You know where they ought to be found? They ought to be found in the house of God. And yet, you know what? In the house of God, so many churches today, you can't find them there either. Proverbs 31, notice how this chapter begins. In the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his what? Mother taught him. Now, all through the book of Proverbs, you have the idea, and it's a good idea, but you have the idea that the father is teaching his son. And for most of the book of Proverbs, that is true. But when you come to the last chapter, you see a mother giving advice to her son, King Lemuel. Now, we know a little bit about this king. You know, we know his name, and that's perhaps all we know. But, you know, some people believe it's Solomon, and I happen to be one of those. Okay? Now, I may be wrong. It doesn't say Solomon. It doesn't say Bathsheba is giving the advice to Solomon. But I believe, you know what? That's the case. I may be wrong. So don't take it as gospel because the Bible doesn't say it. Now, she declares, notice what it says in verse 2. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my what? Vows. Now, she said, you're not only my son, you're the son of my womb. You're not only the son of my womb, but you are the son of my vows. Now, seems to me like that she made a vow to God when he was born. Sounds to me like she made a covenant of God for her boy. She said, I received you from God, and I made a vow that I'm going to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm not going to bring you up the way I want to. I'm going to bring you up the way the Lord has commanded me to. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to discipline you, and I'm going to give you good, godly counsel. You know, it kind of reminds you of Hannah, doesn't it? The mother of Samuel. Didn't she pray for a boy? And didn't she say, I'm going to give you back to the Lord once her request was answered? Sure. And Samuel became what? A mighty prophet of God. And you know who had a lot of influence in that boy's life? Hannah, the mama. Now, King Lemuel's mother begins to teach him by saying in verse 3 through 5, give not thy what? Give not thy what? Strength unto who? Oh, what do you think that's talking about? Huh? That's exactly basically what it's talking about. You know, I looked up that word strength this morning and it talks about it's a fearful thing. And what he's basically saying, she's telling her boy, don't fear women. That's not your position. You're supposed to be in charge. You're not supposed to fear any retribution they can give you. Don't fear them. Be a man. You know, some guys, they shake in their boots when their women, when their wives tell them to do something they don't want to do or correct them. Or they go Gollum on them.
That's there.
And they soil their panties. Yeah, you heard it right. I'll hear about this one later. You shouldn't say that. Shouldn't say that from the pulpit, but okay, Connie. But how many husbands fear their wives? And here's how they do this oftentimes. There's a disagreement, and they always throw in that D word, don't they? You say, what's that, Dallas? No. Talking about divorce. If you don't do that, I'll divorce you. You know what you do? Open up the door, and say goodbye. Goodbye, good riddance, if that's what you want to do. You're not going to hang that over my head for the rest of my life. It ain't happening. Well, that's how it works. If she don't love you enough to stick with you, good riddance. Don't fear her. Yeah, maybe you're dating. Well, if you don't do that, I'm not good. Bye-bye. Same thing. Principle remains the same. They ain't worth having if that's the way they are. Find a what kind of woman? There you go. Let's go on. Nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine. I would think that would include beer. I would think that would include whiskey. I would think that would include any alcoholic beverage, don't you? Now you say, well, I'm not a king. Wow. Now this goes on. Nor for princes strong drink. Uh-oh. Now, how many realize Jesus is king? All right, how many realize that we've been born again? We're children of God. And as children of God, that makes us what? Princes. And even though Jesus says, you know what, we're washed by his blood, we were made kings and what? Oh, so what are we supposed to do with alcohol? Just drink it in moderation. Use it in cooking. Yeah, some of you. Yeah, well, it all burns off. It shouldn't be bought. Amen. Let's go on. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now, here's a wise mother giving her son some advice. She's saying you should not let liquor capture you. You keep it from your lips. Don't touch it. Avoid it. And then run from women who want to control you. Don't fear them. You know, I was talking to somebody that was a single guy, and he was on a date. And this date says, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this. He said, excuse me? He's setting the table. Some of you guys still don't get it. And she pressed the issue, and he said, that's enough. I'm done. You see, if she's not going to follow you while you're dating, she's not going to do that when you're married either. Then if she ain't going to follow you when you're dating, she ain't virtuous to begin with. All right, let's go on. Boy, well, I'll be preaching to a bunch of single people next week. Who can find a virtuous woman? She goes on now to describe a virtuous woman in this beautiful portrait of words. Notice the heart of a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above what? Now that means she's a real jewel, okay? She said, son, I want you to be more concerned about what a woman is than how she looks or what she has done or accomplished in her life. Huh. Now, I don't think you ought to marry somebody that don't ring your bell. But you know what? The character of that person is far more important than what's on the outside. He says, I want you to be more concerned about her character. You know, in this day, we praise people for what they have accomplished, don't we? You know, and you got all these Hillary women running around out there talking about breaking the glass ceiling. What do you mean breaking the glass ceiling? I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, does a virtuous woman talk like that? All they want, that type, is what they accomplish, what they're going to be known for, and how much boot they can put on some man's neck. Notice, virtue is one of the things we need to consider. You say, boy, Connie needs to make your Pop-Tarts. You stop burning them and you'll be a whole lot nicer. I had a donut this morning, so don't worry about my Pop-Tarts. No, it was sugar, and that's why I'm sweet. How many think I'm sweet? I got a couple out there. Yeah, there you go. All right. Now, virtue is one of the things we should consider. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, right? Amen. Then what are we supposed to add to faith? What is the first thing mentioned? Virtue, that's right. Now, you don't, this is things that you are to add to your faith. Now, faith is the foundation, and these are the graces which we are to add to our faith. Now, there are seven of them mentioned there. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. But the first thing we are to add to faith is what?
Virtue.
Now, virtue has to do with godly character, a Christ-likeness. And out of that virtue comes honesty, and out of that virtue comes truth and purity. You know, honesty for the Christian is not supposed to be the best policy. It's supposed to be the only policy. And you know what? I believe God blesses honesty. I really do. I was blessed this week for being honest. I went in and I bought a suit, okay? And then I told the salesman, I said, you know what? I was supposed to get like this $50 thing, you know, from Joseph A. Banks, called Banks Bucks, and I said, I never got it. I didn't get an email. I didn't get anything in the mail. He said, okay, I'll take $50 off the suit. And I'm thinking, good. Well, then after I bought the suit, guess what came in the mail or on my email? $50, you know, from Joseph A. Banks to be used for any purchase. So I said, well, Connie, we need to go over there and get this thing settled. So I went to the manager. I said, listen, here's what happened. And he says, okay. I said, they gave me $50 off the suit, so I'm not entitled to this. I said, so you need to take it off, and so everything's, you know, copacetic, so to speak. I said, so, you know, I'm not entitled to it. He says, well, how about we do this? How about I give you that $50 anyways for being honest? I said, that works for me. But you know what? That's just being honest. And God will bless that. You know, I just don't understand why Christians would think, oh, man, this is a bonus. Praise the Lord! God is blessing me! No, you're a crook. But you know what? We are to have virtue, are we not? And if we got virtue, honesty, and purity, those are things that are going to come forth from the virtue that we have within. Virtue is a garden which all these other desirable qualities bloom and grow. Now, the most Christ-like characteristic we find is virtue. And virtue is really a heart matter. It's not trying to be like someone else, but it is allowing the indwelling Christ to take control of our life and have his life manifested through ours. God says men need to find a what kind of woman? She is a woman who has a heart for God, a heart who is changed, who wants to live holy life, and it comes from the inside, and she wants to do this, and she has a desire to do so because it's what God wants for her. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's the question. Now, a virtuous woman is someone who doesn't argue about what is right. Is it right to do this? Well, that's what the Bible says. You don't argue about it. You just do it. That's what a virtuous woman does. You know, she's not going to argue about whether she should be submissive. She's not going to argue about whether she should give honor and respect to her husband. She doesn't argue about it. She just does it. She's not going to argue about who should be the keeper of the home. She just fulfills her God-given role. She doesn't argue about those things. She doesn't argue whether you should be honest or not. You know, when you go through the cashier line and she gives you more change, and it's kind of hard today anymore, but if she did happen to give you more change, what do you do without? Praise the Lord, God, give me a blessing. No, you take it back. Pretty simple, isn't it? We need to be virtuous, and women especially. Now, many things are said about the appearance of women in the Bible, does it not? We talk about outward appearance. But you know, that outward appearance really starts with the inwardly. You know, and if we would take care of that which is on the inside, the outside takes care of itself. You know, we live in an immodest age, do we not? This is a day when the blush is gone, when almost nothing anymore embarrasses people. You know, I cannot fathom, every time I go to Walmart, I see these people at 2 in the afternoon still in their dirty PJs and their slippers on that are all nasty going through the shopping, going through the aisles. And so, well, that's me. Don't be that disgusting. That's horrible. Are you? Well, I'm not going to say that. Okay, I'm going to say it now. Are you see these women, right? In the spandex. And they need to have on their backside wide load. It's incredible, isn't it? It's like, where is the decency of that? You know, but we ought to be able to find virtuous women dressed properly amongst God's people. You know, it's kind of sad. You go to some churches and, you know, they got their standards and all the women wear dresses, but they wear them so tight you see every lump, bump, and curve they got. And they show their cleavage and thighs in public. And they call themselves what? Christian. What's Christian about that? Nothing. You know, if there's virtue in the heart of a Christian woman, she's going to adorn herself in modest apparel. She's not going to wear that so other men can gawk and look at her and lust after her. That's not what they're going to do. Titus Chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 states this. Now, this is just as much Bible as John 3:16. Okay? Amen. All right. Well, I believe that. Now, if you're a virtuous woman, you're not going to argue about this point. Amen. Come on now. I hear a lot of amens from the men, but I don't hear that so much from the women. It says the aged women. You say, how old is that? You just look at them. You can tell. That's right. They don't look young. They're old. I'm not going into all that detail. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness. That's what it says, does it not? Not false accusers. Mm-hmm. They're not a run around gossiping and slandering and sharing tasty tidbits with everybody else. They keep their tongue to themselves. Not given to much wine, so just a little. That's why you got it in your home, right? Just in case. That means none. Teachers of what? Good things. Now, if you're drinking, you think that's a teacher of good things? No. That they may teach the young women. Okay. Who's supposed to teach the young women? The old women. And you know what? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You know, sometimes people don't want your advice. But you know what? They'll follow your example. They got eyes. They can see. And you know what unwanted advice is? It's unwanted. So don't feel free to give it to everybody. All right. Young women to be what? Sober. That means you should be serious-minded. That's what it's talking about. Don't be a goofball. That's in the Greek. Don't be a goofball. To love their husbands. Wow. You mean you got to be taught to love your husband? I think so. Sometimes they're not very lovable, are they? Them. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the rest of you. It says their husbands, not my wife's husband. To love their children. What? You know, a lot of mothers claim to love their children, but they don't love them the way the Bible says. They don't love them enough to discipline them. They don't even love them enough to have their husband discipline them. Yeah. Don't hurt my babies! Really? I thought that's what discipline was for. No pain, no gain. Don't hurt my babies. Love their children. Yeah. Love them enough to instruct them in the way that's right. They're not yours or God's. To be discreet. Sounds to me like they shouldn't be loud and proud. Running the show. What do you think? Huh? Chaste. Ooh, there's a good word. Keepers at what? Keepers at Walmart. Keepers at the job. Keepers at the government. Oh. Keepers at what? You know, I remember one time I lost three young families over that one little phrase. All left. Because I have no right to tell women they should be keepers at home. But God did. I'm just repeating what he told us. Good. Well, aren't women naturally good? No, there's none good. That's right. That's why he says, who can find a virtuous woman? Didn't Solomon say, of 1,000, I found none? Come on now!
He was trying.
Obedient. What's that word? What's that word?
Yeah.
What's that word? Obedient. Now, who wrote this? To their own what? Now, that's what it says, right?
Amen.
That's what the old women are supposed to teach the young women.
That's right.
Uh-huh. By example? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, and if asked.
Amen.
Obedient to their what? Doesn't say husbands be obedient to your wives.
No.
It's not what it says. That the word of God be not what? So if you're not doing any of these things, what are you doing? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Now, older women have a charge from the Lord to provide the right example to the younger women. Virtue in the heart will produce modesty in appearance. Tell me, what do you want for your daughters? You want them bossing around your husbands? Then maybe you ought to be obedient. Maybe you ought to be discreet. Maybe you ought to be chaste. Maybe you ought to be a keeper of the home. Okay. tell me, what do you want for your granddaughters? That's right. God said aged women should set the example. Now, you say, well, I got some immodest clothes. What should I do with it? Get rid of it. And don't give it to Goodwill either. They don't need to be wearing it. Throw it away. Now, it's good. I know it's good because the Bible says that. Now, a person with virtue does not argue about what they're supposed to wear. Just don't do it. You know, they don't say, well, it's just a little immodest. They get rid of it. You know, I'll never forget, Connie got saved, and she went to church, one Sunday, and I went with her that morning, and I wouldn't go that night. Once a week's enough for anybody, that's what I thought. And so she went back that night, and I was not happy. And matter of fact, I was upset. That's right. But she went back anyways. You said, she should have been obedient to her husband. And that's what I tried to play on her. I told her that. But God is the highest authority, and she decided to obey him.
Amen.
And I'm glad that she did. So she goes there that Sunday night. She comes back. Now, I'm stewed more ways than one. And she says, oh, guess what? I said, what? She said, they got a ladies' meeting tomorrow night. And I'm going to go. So she goes. And you know what? She comes back and she says, you know what? I need to get rid of some of my clothes. I need a new wardrobe. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. This is horrible. But you know what was happening? God was transforming her life. He was doing a work in her heart. Not mine, hers. And she got rid of a bunch of clothes that would not meet the Lord's approval. Huh. Now, how long was she saved for? Not even a week, and she got that. Not even a week! You say, well, God looks on the heart, and he knows my heart is pure. No, not if you're wearing that, which is immodest. It's not pure, and he knows that. And here's read that whole verse. It says, a man looketh on the what? Outward appearance. You say, well, that's their problem. No, it's your problem too. Amen. We are to dress a certain way because we are a certain way in our hearts. Notice the husband of a virtuous woman. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Her husband trusts her. You know, here's the thing that I don't think people understand, that a marriage or a home is built on trust. You know, if I can't trust my spouse, I'm not going to have a home. It's not going to work. And it's a horrible thing, and one would be a miserable spouse if they can't trust the other. Amen. You know, every virtuous woman, however God-fearing, God-honoring she is, she ought to have a spirit-filled husband as well. You know, they deserve that. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Did you hear that? A crown. Well, that's pretty good stuff, isn't it? But you know, if you're not a virtuous woman, then what are you? You're as rottenness in his bones. Isn't that sad? This is what a woman can do to a man. They can either be his crown of glory, or they can bring rottenness to his bones. You know, maybe next time you put your husband down, you may want to think about that verse. Yeah, no good for nothing, blah, blah, blah. He can't do anything. I got to do it all. Ooh, rotten, rotten. Right. You're supposed to be his helpmate. You're supposed to build him up. You're supposed to be his cheerleader. And yet you just tear him down. Every chance you get. Like a jackbooted Nazi. It's not a good thing. You are rotten. And you bring rottenness to him. You know, I thank God I got a virtuous wife that I get to come home to. Amen. I can trust her, and I love her. She is a crown to my life. I'm thankful to God for her every day. She doesn't give me a problem. She's a blessing to me at all times. Well, maybe you've made some mistakes in the past, ladies. Which one of you hasn't? Raise your hand. But you know what? You can't be forgiven of that, can you not? Can you not start afresh and anew? And maybe some of us need to do so, even some of the aged ones. Correct? Now listen. There's something beautiful about a virtuous woman. It comes from the inside and it's manifested outwardly. You ought to desire in your heart, ladies, to be a virtuous woman. Because when you are, you will be a crown to your husband. You will be the praise of the home. The Bible says her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. By the way, husbands, that's our job. We do what? Praise her. Right? You know, when she does something nice, you ought to comment about it. Maybe you ought to tell her you love her once in a while. Yeah, she knows it. Yeah, okay. Continue to go on in your wrong way. That's your business. That's your will. But I guarantee that woman that you're married to would sure like to hear it. And it doesn't cost you a thing. And it's something you're supposed to do anyway. Look at the end of that chapter in verses 29 through 31. Many daughters have done what? I wonder where they got that example from. Oh! So how are your daughters doing? But thou, what? Excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is what? Doesn't last. I don't care how much Mary Kay you put on, it doesn't last. You got to take it off sometime. And then you go, holy moly. Who are you? I need to behave myself. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be what? Praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Wow. There is a beauty of the heart that makes a man grateful to say, that's my wife. All right, we'll have some more in a few minutes. I got a little verbose this morning.